You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hello, Lieutenant Governor. Hello. Timothy, how are you?
It's great. It's great to be on with you guys. And by the way, you know, it's funny because we used to call Jim Trussell the senator.
Yes.
I don't know if we called it, they called him that behind his back or in front of his back and stuff, but the way he answered questions, you know, and here he is. I mean, yeah, I had him on my, have him in, ironically, I have him and Urban Meyer on my podcast that they got posted earlier this week. The Tim May Show, but this was prior to Jim Trussell getting the tap. As a matter of fact, I think we recorded it the day before Governor DeWine paid a visit, you know, and said, "Hey, would you like to do this?" But the bottom line is, yeah, it's pretty remarkable, and you know, I've always held Jim Trussell in great high esteem, if that matters to anybody. But I think hell of a job, to be honest with you, once he figures out where all the buttons are.
So he was on with us probably, what, last week, 2 weeks ago?
I think it was about a month.
Has it been a month?
Yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah.
It feels like, we had no way. Did you have any inclination that he would be the lieutenant governor the next time you talked to him?
No, but, you know, we've it's been speculated before that he could run for an office, some type of statewide office. And probably have a good shot at it, and including possibly even a senator thing, just because the way he can relate to people and put things in perspective. And so his whole bent, you know, through his professional life, I'm not talking about, you know, as a coach, but we all know I'm not really gushing here. I mean, it's just obvious. I mean, this guy likes to affect people. I mean, he likes to affect people in a positive way and bring out the best in people if he can. And that was kind of the heart and soul of his coaching strategy. You know, I mean, everybody can talk about the X's and the O's, but, you know, he always looked at it as the Jimmies and Joes and relating to people. And that's why I think he flourished as the president of Youngstown State University in so many ways, but one of which was he really likes affecting young people and in some form or fashion, and trying to teach them, in essence, the right way to go, et cetera. But I'm kind of proud of him to a certain extent because I've known him for a very long time, since the mid 1980s, and I think he'll do well in this role. Now, what exactly a lieutenant governor does, that's the next conversation.
Good point.
Somebody has to stand in at the ribbon cutting.
I'm not sure the great Andy Baskin couldn't handle those duties.
Hey, I'd be happy to. What's the paycheck? I got to look that up on.
Wow.
You know what? I actually looked that up. I think it's like $140,000 or something. So it's not generational money, as the old saying goes.
It's true. Still be poking the eye with a stick.
I don't think you get a Nike deal with it either.
I don't think so either. But I know I'll probably have a bunch of old ladies knitting me sweaters. So I've got that going for me.
There you go.
That is
there
nice.
You go. Won't have a.
I just figured
won't need socks or sweaters.
If you think about it, the only jobs in the state where you're protected by state troopers are head football coach at Ohio State and the governor and lieutenant governor. So, I mean, he's just back to where he used to be, right?
There you go. Walking across the field, shake a man's hand. Go ahead now.
Were you surprised when Chip Kelly said, hey, you know what, this was great, I'm going to the Raiders?
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's what he tried to do, was trying to do this time a year ago, and failed in that capacity. And I like it. This, I don't know if I've, I don't think I've been on with you guys since the change, right? But, you know, everybody, just think about the attractiveness of the Ohio State football coaching staff November 30th about 6 p.m. and then on January the 20th about midnight. The difference. Yes. And for everybody, you know. And, you know, Jim Knowles was already, the way I understand it, and his representation was already had their name and likeness out there, you know what I mean, about a possible move and or a possible bump from Ohio State. And he ended up going back home to his home state of Pennsylvania. So we know all about that. But the bottom line is the profession, the coaching profession, is all about striking while the iron is hot. And any other cliche you can throw in there about taking advantage of things when things go well for you. But Chip Kelly, in December of last year and January, was had his name out there moving from UCLA to be a possible offensive coordinator in the National Football League somewhere, and didn't get a bite. Well, this time he got a bite, and he took it. And, you know, with basically the blessings of Ryan Day, because let's face it, you know, they conspired. Yeah, they got their act together after the Michigan game, but they got their act together. That was a tour de force by the offensive team, by the offensive side for Ohio State in the playoffs, and same way with the defense. So strike while the iron is hot. Justin Fry, if there was a surprise, it was probably maybe the interest in Justin Fry and vice versa from the NFL. But like I said, you know, if that's where you've always aspired to get to in some form or fashion in your career, you got to jump when you get the chance, because some of these chances don't come around again. So, no. And Ryan Day is now has national championship next to his on his coaching resume. And he's hired coaches before, and now he's hired them again, and is moving on.
All right, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball then there too, because the pride of Glen Oak, not Dustin Fox, the other guy, Brian Hartline, now becomes the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. And your thoughts of how he's going to do, and him being the offensive coordinator, how will Brian Hartline do?
Well, he was already, you know, whatever you want to call it, offensive coordinator, assistant, associate offensive coordinator. Obviously got that promotion 2 years ago, and then Ryan Day backed off from letting him call plays, because Ryan Day still wanted to do it again, because he just felt like it was the right thing to do after a spring or so. Now it's two years removed from that, and in the meantime, look who Brian Hartline, for want of another term, has learned under. You know, he already had learned under Ryan Day, but now he's learned under Chip Kelly, saw how Chip Kelly ran things, did things. And, you know, it's, you know, Brian, I mean, Lincoln Riley was a head coach at what, the age of 32 or 34. You know what I mean? I mean, Brian Hartline becoming an offensive coordinator, what is he nearing, 40, 38, 40 years old?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a push whatsoever. And the head coaches had all last season to really study his coaching staff. I'm talking about Ryan Day did when he became just a full-time head coach. And I think he really, obviously when he elevated Brian Hartline a couple of years ago, he liked where Brian Hartline was headed in terms of a coaching acumen. And now he's got two more years under his belt. We got to watch and study him over the past year. You know, and that offensive room, I got to sit in on one of their meetings a long time ago, and it's a consortium. I mean, granted, you have the offensive coordinator collating things and putting things together, and clearly, especially with Chip Kelly called the plays, but not without Ryan Day being in on the, you know, yes or no end of things, or giving his input, but also the other coaches in the room giving their input. So I think Brian Hartline, I think he will do well. Now, granted, there's a lot of things that's going to be different about this offense, including personnel, including your starting quarterback. You're losing, you know, one of the great team leaders in Emeka Egbuka at one of the wide receiver spots. You got to replace both tackles. So that's gonna shape as much how Brian Hartline is in the coming season as his play calling.
Did Matt Patricia see what happened with Chip Kelly and think, okay, this is a way to get back to the NFL? I think it's a really interesting hire, Tim, replacing Jim Knowles as defensive coordinator. What do you think?
I like it a lot because I think when you look outside, you know, when you have this opportunity to what I call bring new pollen to the beehive, yeah, that's what you do. And that's what Matt Patricia, you know, yeah, he had his downs, many more downs than ups as the head coach of the Detroit Lions. But, you know, he served for many years as defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. He learned from one of the greats to ever do it. Greatest means the greatest, no questions asked, but one of the greats to ever do it. And Bill Belichick, he has learned the pros and cons about being a head coach and what goes in that realm. I think it always helps when you hire a coordinator who in some form or fashion has been a head coach because he understands the hierarchy. You understand what I'm saying? He understands, yes, that he has a boss, just like he was the boss at one point. And I think Matt Patricia, you know, from what I've been able to put together, is very intelligent when it comes to putting together defenses and stuff. I mean, granted, the whole New England, whatever you want to call it, fell off dramatically over the last several years of the Bill Belichick reign. But you were still putting incredible defenses out there and stuff. And I thought Matt Patricia was part and parcel to a lot of that. And so I think it always helps when you bring somebody in who, number one, is quite worldly, has seen the world, and number two, has some acumen himself. You know, and the thing about it is Nick Saban won championship after championship doing almost this very same thing. So I think he let it ride, see where it goes. It worked pretty good this past year.
Tim, sad note earlier this week, and I keep having flashbacks to a very, very hard landing at Penn State when I think we were on the King Air. You were on the flight. I was on the flight. And at the back of the plane was Jim Lachey and Jim Karsatos because they were the biggest guys, you know, to keep the plane, yeah, even in weight. Those two guys would have to sit in the back. And, we, you know, we lost a good one in Jim Karsatos earlier this week. I'm still sad. And I just way too young, 61 years old, and was dealing with a heart condition. But I'm just – your thoughts and your reflections on Jim Karsatos.
Very sad. And very young. You know, I'm 70, going to be 71 next month. But very, very, it wasn't super surprising because you understood, you know, that for a while he had a heart situation he was dealing with and stuff. But it's still always sad when you see a guy like that go. And, you know, he's a guy that followed Mike Tomczak, which meant he benefited from one of the great connections in Ohio State football passing history. Jim Karsatos to Chris Carter,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
who's, and by the way, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But I remember following Karsatos out of the it was just the Biggs facility back then, back at, you know, before they finally built the moved into the Woody Hayes Athletic Center middle of 1987 season. Hmm. But 1985-86, I remember following Karsatos out the door one time after a practice and interviews, and he all of a sudden you heard him sing, "I can't drive 55," but he sang it much better than I just did.
Yeah.
But just, you know, just a different kind of guy from Southern California, you know, who is now taking over the starting quarterback role at Ohio State. And he was much better maybe than history gives him credit for. Just like everything about him, got to know him pretty well, yeah, like you were talking about. I mean, I saw a picture of you and him, but of you interviewing him,
yeah,
by the way, on
it.
Some website. And the last couple of days, I thought of you just as much as I thought of him, Andy. But yeah, he rode in some of those landings with us on the Convair 560.
Tim May joining us.
Third wire. Yeah, get the third wire there at Penn State as the as a Navy pilot would tell you about catching that third wire, or you might go off the end of the runway.
The hardest landing in America, right?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. You know, that was the famous place where when they went over in two planes back in 75, I think they played over there. And Jeff Logan told that famous story about Woody having the they had to go in two planes, and Woody had the plane with all the backups in it go in first because it was like a little bit of a edgy kind of like fog kind of situation going on. It made it, so then the big plane with the commanders on it came in.
That's funny. Tim May joining us from Letterman Row. We've been trying to find the Browns a quarterback. Today we took a good look at Will Howard, and we've seen him, Tim. Some folks are saying he could even be a late first-round pick. Others don't even have him being drafted, which I think is silly. Where do you think he falls in this, and what kind of a pro quarterback do you think Will might be?
Just tell people to turn on the last four games of the season for Ohio State. The Michigan game, you know, he got banged up in the middle of the first half in that game, still came in and led a two-minute drive to a touchdown. You know, which I don't know why they didn't do that the rest of the game. The format they ran in that 2-minute drill, which was throw the ball, not run the ball into a wall. But I think he was banged up maybe a little bit more than some people thought, or it was alluded to for us. But the bottom line is, just look at the poise and the playmaking he did against Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, and then in the national championship game against Notre Dame. And tell me this guy can't play quarterback for somebody in the National Football League. Number one, he's big. He's tall. He can run when he needs to. You know, he's not, should not ever be confused with Lamar Jackson. But from a speed standpoint or something, but he can still move a little bit. But he's a huge guy. And, boy, once he and Chip Kelly got on the same wavelength, you could see it. You could see the confidence that the offensive coordinator had in calling plays. You could see that, and as Ryan Day pointed out, you know, I asked about that, about how much his NFL stock had improved. I asked him that the day after the national championship game. And he said, well, then wasn't really, I'm talking about Will, wasn't really a time then to really talk about it. But he went on to talk about it a little bit. Right. But Ryan Day said, you know, the famous line was that when he gets his feet right, he's as good as anybody, meaning in the passing game. And that's the way it goes. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes when he had his feet right and when he didn't in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, well, true. Very true.
So anyway, but this young man just led an unprecedented run to a national championship. Unprecedented. They played 16 games. He answered the bell in all 16 of them. So he's a tough dude. And then on top of that, his passing got better clearly as the year went on, finally, with a coaching staff that knew how to get the most out of him. And, you know, Ryan Day coached in the National Football League for two seasons. That's why I asked him about it, because he knows what they're looking for at that level. Whether he's a first-round draft pick, you know, who knows? But to say he's not National Football League capable, and now look around the league at some of the guys trying to throw the ball, trying to read defenses, trying to lead, and not succeeding. I don't know how you couldn't give this guy a shot.
Tim, as always, have a good long weekend, my friend. Enjoy yourself. And
Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Thank you.
It is Happy Valentine's Day, and I remembered it.
Good job.
I mean, the one thing I've always done is when you marry a very beautiful woman, you always remember to take care of certain holidays. I don't know if this is a holiday, but Tim May takes care of his wife, and that's for sure.
Tim May likes Tim May. I like that. Third person Tim May.
I don't know what I'm doing, man. I'm 70 and I'm still winging it. You know what I mean?
Oh, Tim, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
When it says on the calendar, give the wife gifts, I go out and get her some.
Yes. All right. We'll catch you at Letterman Row, especially with your podcast, dude. Thank you, Tim.
She sees her President's Day bonus. It'll be nice.
Can't wait till Arbor Day around the May family.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
There you go. A new tree, baby.
Goodbye, Tim.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. There was a story that just came across our computers that we were talking about earlier today, and I brought this up in our morning meeting to Jeff, and then Mike Florio, I just happened to write a story about the same thing, and I just said to Jeff, I go, look, when it comes to Myles Garrett and trying to trade or not trade him, like, I still, no matter what comes out of my mouth, I don't want to trade Myles Garrett. You don't give up a talent like that and just, because you can't replace it. I think that's the problem. But then I said to Jeff earlier today, I'm like, well, what if somebody wanted to take him, but they also wanted to take Deshaun in that contract too? And I was like, wow. And I think we both talked about it. But then the first thing, and Dan, you were in on the conversation too, where I was like, man, it sounds like a great idea, but I just don't know financially how they do that with dead cap stuff. And
which I do not get. I don't understand all that.
I don't get it either.
But I just know it's hugely punitive if they were to try and, if they do anything with Deshaun other than somehow void the contract. Other than that, they don't have a choice here.
Yeah, like I think we all kind of sat around in the meeting this morning. We're like, I wonder if the only way out of the situation they have right now, whether it be Miles or if they were thinking about trading Denzel or...
Don't say that.
Or if...
Don't like that.
No, I don't like... But like those three guys... There's no way they could lose all three guys off the roster without some kind of, I don't know, some major contract gymnastics that maybe we've never seen before. So we were talking about that this morning, and then all of a sudden Florio's got a story that came out today that said, here's a Myles Garrett trade scenario that would solve Cleveland's biggest problem. And, you know, it gets into it and it just says, you know, the message would be that if you wanted to trade for Myles Garrett, would you take Deshaun Watson along for the ride? And while, you know, we all looked at the story, we're like, I understand what he's saying. And if this was another sport, maybe that would work. I just don't know how that would work for another team. And Florio goes on to say, it would amount to an extra $92 million commitment with a new team getting Garrett and owing Watson the balance of his 5-year, $230 million fully guaranteed contract. The new team wouldn't put Watson on the field. He's already unlikely to play in 2025, given that he had surgery last month on his re-torn Achilles tendon. And so, you know, again, on paper, you're like, oh, well, that solves all the problems. But I don't know if this is even possible. Dan, you're more into this a little bit than we are.
I feel like I need like the Menigan, the wet blanket theme song.
Okay, let's find one.
Put together some kind of happy sounding song.
Play the kazoo.
Yeah, some kind of kazoo song that, you know, here comes the wet blanket. Like something along those lines.
You really just have to speak. That takes care of it.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, bud.
All right.
That's friendship right there. That's love on Valentine's Day.
First and foremost.
Thank you.
If you don't follow Jack Duffin on Twitter, you should follow Jack Duffin on Twitter because he does an excellent job with all of the Browns breakdown stuff. Does a bunch of stuff for Orange and Brown Report, but does a great job when it comes to the cap. And so I will steal this directly from him because he lays it out better than anybody else. Okay? If the Browns were to do this, as in trade Myles Garrett and attach the Deshaun Watson contract to it, is basically a, you know, here's a little extra weight to get rid of this thing. It would result in $170,738,660 on the salary cap of dead money. The salary cap for next year is $272.5 million. So in other words,
it would leave them $100 million to have a roster?
Yeah. And good luck fielding a roster of 53-man roster with $100 million in the modern NFL.
Can you long
quality
snap?
NFL players on
can you long snap, Dan?
That's kind of where we're at. I mean, we could go down, you know, poor Andrew Siciliano would probably have to call plays while he called the game.
That might be fun.
You would have a very hard time. Nathan could play quarterback. We could have Andrew's defensive back.
So maybe this leads us
Gerard
to
Travis. Cherry might be back.
Listen,
play a defensive back. It could be great.
Travis Hunter is a 2-for-1 deal. They want to take him at 2.
Wow.
So now you only have to pay for 21 starters.
That's very true.
Wow.
And he could probably run back kicks, too. So now you've covered one of your specialties. The guy would never leave the field. You want to talk about getting your money's worth? Travis Hunter would be the guy to get your money's worth out of this thing.
During timeouts, the poor guy would have to be at an IV.
There are only two solutions to the situation they're in with Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Number one is time.
Yeah.
Like 2 years. And the other is somehow that contract is voided. So if one of those two things, you know, you either sit and you wait for 2 years or something happens there.
Well, I wonder, what'd you just say? It was 100 and it would leave them with 100 million, 170 million.
About.
And so, yeah. Is there a difference if they wait till after June 1st? Is there any more relief?
I was really hoping you wouldn't ask
I'm
me
sorry.
That because I didn't math that.
You knew
yet.
That's what I was thinking, though, right? I knew I was going to ask that. So
I don't think it gets a whole lot better because you got to do next year and, of course, all the void years on top of it. It doesn't clean it up too much. Nobody wants to hear this at any portion of their life when it comes to anything, but it is 100% the truth when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. You're stuck. Unless there are two options, and Jeff laid them out well. Father time, or something takes place that you can void the contract.
That's it.
You're stuck.
That's it.
You're stuck. No one wants to hear it, but it's sadly the truth of the matter.
Even if you trade him, like just in a regular trade,
you're
going to get nailed on the cap.
Yep. You're stuck.
And what happens if he retires?
Well, that's a different story. There are three options there.
Yeah, except the one of them is very, very, very pie in the sky.
Yeah.
You would have to walk up to him and have to, like, hypnotize him to get him to do it.
Thank you. I'm walking away from $92 million.
It's
been a pleasure, everybody.
You don't want to be paid. You don't want to collect the money due to you.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not his fault.
Oh, no, not in the slightest. No. He signed the contract. They gave him the contract.
He signed it.
You don't like money guaranteed to you.
You might be the only one on the planet who does. If that's the case.
I think there are people waiting to hear that if this thing gets nulled, if the contract gets nulled. And we talked about
good luck with that.
I can't see. First of all, the NFLPA would absolutely
flip out. I'll go nuts.
They will hold their nose and defend this thing with everything in them.
My guess is NFL owners wouldn't be very happy about it either.
Even going farther into that story, he said Watson has a no-trade clause, so he still gets his money if it gets him out of Cleveland and ultimately into free agency in 2026, but I'm sure he'd consider it.
That's great.
A kind of out-of-the-box approach. They need to pry Garrett away from the Browns, and of course the Browns are willing to both move on. The one part that he did bring up there too that I thought about too was that it would be like the Brock Osweiler deal in reverse. And I, like, that's something I had contemplated too. I don't know. You tell me. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.